settle us, center us from a day of thinking, a day of activity, a day of hurry, a day of rushing, a day of crowds, a day of noise. Just center us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good evening, everybody. Did anybody happen to read chapters 5 and 6 in Song of Solomon? You read chapters 5 and 6? Okay. Can you name or can you recall one word, actually from the end of chapter 4? Through chapter 5 and 6, there is one word or one idea that kind of keeps coming up. What is it? What do you say? Garden, right? Okay, that whole idea come up. So therefore, I want to kick off our time with this little song right here. Some of you may know this song. I kind of think it connects with what we want to do. Okay? Do this, right? You all probably know what song I'm going to play, all right? Come on, come on, come on, give it to me, give it to me. Okay. Okay, so we don't have a song tonight. Sorry, y'all. I was waiting for the song. I thought we had it together. I don't know it.
Because tonight I want to learn about the secrets in your garden.
I wanna read your mind, know your deepest feelings. I wanna make it right for you. Baby, show me, let me share the mystery. Oh,
come on,
listen to your heart tonight.
Come on,
make it all right. Yeah,
come on tonight.
I know a melody that we could sing together. I've got the secret key to you, baby. Let's make music, harmonize in ecstasy.
Come on,
and sing it to me.
You want me to all night.
wanna hold you. Ooh, baby, can I touch you there? Come on, come on, come on, come on. I can keep you satisfied, baby.
Come on, come on, woo, come on.
Let it go in a minute. Just one part you gotta hear.
Every time I'll take good care of you. That's what a man is supposed to do. And I'll be there for you all the time. Let your hair down. Let me get you in the mood. Take me with you
into the garden.
I know I'm not sure what it means when, you know, folks start fanning. I don't know. I saw some people over here fanning. I'm not gonna call no names, but right over there at that table over there, I saw a lot of fanning going on over here, and I didn't know what Carol Poe was doing. She about to fall out of that. So I knew it was time to end the song then. Do we have all adults here tonight? Okay. I need all adults here tonight. I need all adults here. This is a little, this is PG-13. On tonight, okay? A little bit PG-13, perhaps. I don't know. Let's see how we go with this. On last week, we didn't really get to chapter 4. Tonight, I'm right here. Tonight, our focus is on chapters 5 and 6. But we should probably start reading. Tonight I got to do some reading, okay? I just got to do some reading. Let's go up to chapter 4. Let's go up to chapter 4. You ready? How beautiful you are, my darling. This is the man talking, right? Okay, this is the man talking, right? Well, if I'm not right, tell me. Well, if I am right, affirm it for me, please. Okay, thank you much. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn. Coming up from the washing, each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh. And on the hill of incense, all beautiful you are, my darling, there's no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Descend from the crest of Amana, from the top of Sinir, the summit of Hermon, from the lion's dens, and the mountain haunts of the lepers. You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like that of Lebanon. You are a Y'all don't have it in your Bible? You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Okay, now, here we go. Verse 16. Who's speaking here? Okay. Awake, north wind, and come, south wind. Blow on my garden that its fragrance. Did I say something? Miss Prater, is that you laughing over there, Miss? I'm just reading the word of God. Let me start over again. Awake, north wind, and come, south wind, blow on my garden that its fragrance may spread abroad. Let my lover come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. Chapter 5, verse 1. Just read with me for a second. I'm going to come get you in just a moment. I have come into my garden. So this is him talking to her now. What was her invitation to him? Come to the garden and do what? Taste what? Don't be scared of it, okay? All right? And what does he say? Something happened between the invitation and his kind of assessment here. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk milk and my wine. Friends are watching this. Eat, O friend, and drink your fill, O lovers. Verse 2, I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my lover is knocking, saying to me, open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. Verse 3, I have taken off my robe. She's unclothed. She's naked, okay? I have taken off my robe. Do I have to put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? My lover thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. I arose to... You don't have to read 50 Shades of Grey. You ain't got to read that. I rose to my... Some of y'all don't know what that book is. Yeah? I rose to open for my lover, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers were flowing myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my lover, but my lover had left. She took too long to get to the door. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. The watchmen found me. As they made their rounds in the city, they beat me, they bruised me. They took away my cloak, those watchmen of the walls. O daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, if you find my lover, what will you tell him? She's always looking for him. Tell him I am faint with love. How, and so the friends chime in. How is your love beloved? How is your beloved better than others, most beautiful women? How is your beloved better than others that you charge us so? My lover is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is pure as gold. His hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water stream, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice, yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies, dripping with myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with chrysolite. His body is like polished ivory, decorated with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as its cedars. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my lover, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Jay-Z ain't got nothing on this, right? Right? Nothing. Okay, hold up. Chapter 6. Friends are talking. Where has your lover gone, most beautiful women? Which way did your lover turn, that we may look for him with you? My lover has gone down to his garden. There you go, Dick Solomon. You said, Dick Solomon said, back to the garden, all right? To the beds of spices, to browse in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my lover's, and my lover is mine. He browses among the lilies. So now the lover starts talking to her and about her. You are beautiful, my darling, as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, majestic as troops with banners. Turn your eyes from me, they overwhelm me. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Gilead. Your teeth, into the teeth, are like a flock of sheep coming up from washing. Each has its twin, not one of them is alone. The teeth all meet each other. And that's what he said, right? Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. 60 queens there may be, 80 concubines and virgins beyond number. A lot of women out there, but my dove, my perfect one, is unique. The only daughter of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The maiden saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines praise her. Who is this that appears like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, majestic as the stars in procession? I went down to the grove of the nut trees to look at the new growth in the valley, to see if the vines had budded or the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I realized it, my desire set among the royal chairs of my people. Come back, O Shulamite, come back, that we may gaze on you. Now, I want to ask you, let's cover a couple questions here. What's going on in this section, in these chapters? What's going on? What's the word you use?
Courtship.
Okay. All right. Okay, you say courtship. Uh-huh. Jackie.
I would say this
one's
the consummation.
Consummation. Okay. Consummation. Consummation. What else is going on here? Intimacy. Uh-huh. Thank you. I like these words. So intimacy is going on here. What did you say? Okay. All right. You got two lovers here. Anything else going on that we haven't picked up on? Anything going on here? What's going on here?
Male and female, not male and male.
Where's All right, Nick. That's true. You got a male and female talking to each other here. What do you say? Okay, you have a little cat and mouse going on. Let's call a little chase. She goes, who's chasing who? She seems to be doing more chasing, right? He came knocking at the door. She took too long getting to the door, it's implied. He goes to the door and she goes to the door and he's gone. Somebody would ask, yes.
Oh, I was
just
saying it sounded like a mutual and open, like
Okay. Y'all are on the money. It's this openness. There's an openness, there's a vulnerability. Okay, how you spell vulnerability? See, I can write sloppy, so that way you won't know if I misspell it or not, because vulnerability, that's the key with being able to write sloppy. Paula, what do you say? Yeah, I'm just going to put connectedness. There's an interconnectedness between the two of them. Yes, ma'am. There's this endearment. So say a little more about that. Okay. Okay. Passion. Obviously, there's this sexual thing going on, right? Consummate. You just said it real kind of. Right, there's this, there's this thing going on. There's this thing going on. What'd you say? Sister, as Pew said, there's a lot of lust. Okay? 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 And now, what you don't want to do is automatically see this as negative. Because we typically, Christians, because of the puritanical influence going way back to the early centuries here, have this, at least this public kind of embarrassment about sexuality. Now, privately, you know, publicly, we're like, ah. That. What's this whole? Yes, sir, Joel. What'd you say? There's communion here. You know what? I'm gonna put that with this intimacy thing. You're right. There's this communion. Now, since you brought it up, well, let me ask this first question first, and then the second one that goes back to what you're saying. What is this whole garden metaphor about? What's this garden thing? Nobody has any idea? Yes, sir.
It's either the meeting place.
The garden. Okay, hold up. The garden. James says the garden is either the meeting place where they can find each other. Yes.
Or that other thing.
Okay. Or that other thing. Need we go further? Does everybody understand what that other thing? Now, there may be somebody here who don't know what we're talking about. We're going to explore that in just a second. Yeah. Yes. His garden could be his people. Okay. All right. Okay. The garden, something has to be cultivated and worked. To be honest with you, the stuff that we read, the stuff we looked at, there is no real consensus as to what this garden thing is. But I just think, just from what we read, that the garden could be this physical place. It could be this emotional place where they meet in terms of the intimacy. It also could be physical, where they start talking about body parts. It very well could be. As a matter of fact, let's look at the levels of intimacy. There's definitely this sexual intimacy. If you go back to chapter 4, the bottom part of verse 16. The reason why we know there's a real deep sexual thing going on here is because, again, this kind of poetry was borrowed, we believe, from the Egyptians, this style, okay? And the Egyptians, when it came to certain sexual acts, when it comes to sexual organs, had symbolic kind of metaphors to stand for that. Okay, so it wouldn't be strange for the writer here to use some of that, borrow it for what he or she is trying to say. Okay, so when she says, "Let my lover," bottom of verse 16, "Let my lover come into his garden and taste his choice fruit." That could very well be referring to a sex act, okay? And, you know, the language for us might seem strange. I don't know if you've ever used that kind of language, but the moment he says, chapter 5, verse 1, what kind of confirms that is he says, "I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride," and to come into my garden, there was another word for it today. Kind of going back to even Genesis, does refer to the act of sexual intercourse. Yes, yes. I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I've gathered my myrrh. See, everything that he's talking about here has to do with just enjoying something. There's some pleasure here. Okay? She invites him to come to the garden. He says, but between chapter 4, verse 16, and chapter 5, verse 1, something happened. All right? And so there is this element of enjoyment that he begins to express, okay? And then it carries on. It carries on as a yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say? I think that very well could be a part of it. That the garden. Oh, I lost my thing. The garden symbolizes this paradise. It speaks of paradise because, for Asian, when it comes to Asian thought, way back then, paradise meant the definition for paradise is an enclosed garden, a garden that not just anybody could get to. Help me. And so that's often used. So as a matter of fact, when the man on the cross says, when you come to your kingdom, please remember me. Jesus said, verily, verily, today shall thou be with me in paradise. It's the word that means the same thing, an enclosed garden. So you may be onto something there. The Garden of Eden was seen as a perfect place of intimacy, nakedness, and communion. Right? Oh, wait a minute. Y'all are onto something. You got me started on something here. So go to Genesis for just a second. Go to Genesis for. Chapter 2. Verse 8. I think that's a good place to start. Verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a in the east, in Eden. There he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Zihon. This, by the way, is real evidence as to why we believe that the whole world got started in Africa, which is motherland of, which becomes the birthplace of humanity. The name of the second river is Zihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. Okay, there you go. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Okay, so the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care for it. Okay, then he gives him these commands. I don't want to read all of that. I want you to jump down. Oh, let's see. Verse 19. So the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them. Let me ask you something. let me ask you, I'm getting way off the subject right here, but it's just kind of interesting to me. Isn't it interesting when you read Genesis chapter 1, how did God create? He said, let there be, and there was. Does chapter 2 kind of give you a different kind of creation? What is different here? God is working, hands on. Chapter 1 is the distant, and matter of fact, very interesting, that the word for the divine being in chapter 1, I'm getting way off the subject, y'all, is Yahweh, I believe, or Elohim, okay? And that's the God who can just speak it, and it is. The word for the divine being in chapter 2 is a totally different word. It's Jehovah, which means a God who's in relationship with us. Ooh, that excites me. Yes, sir.
It makes perfect sense if you think about how when man sinned in the garden, he was expelled from it, which separated him from the relationship with God. And when you think about the garden referred to in Solomon, to me that felt like this perfect realm, this relationship that they had, whether it was a physical relationship, the spiritual, where you're, you know, whether you're having a
okay. Well, now, okay, so let's take a look at this garden then. So let's stay there in chapter 2. I just went off for a moment. You helped to bring it back. Let's go back. I'm really caught up into this whole creation thing. In chapter 1, he speaks it. Chapter 2, he works it. People say we have two different creation accounts. I just believe it gives us a balanced view of God. A God who's powerful enough, big enough to speak it, small enough to make it. Okay. That, my crowd over here, y'all not with me tonight. What's wrong with y'all? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Anyway. So, okay, hold on. Where am I, y'all? Where am I? Chapter 2, verse 20. So the man gave names to all the livestock, birds of the air, beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. It's the only way he could do it, make Adam sleep. So Adam knows that he had nothing to do with this making of her. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. He said, this is now bone of her bones, flesh of your flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, when man leaves his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Okay, here it is, verse 25. The man and the woman, the man and his wife, were both naked, and they felt no shame. So the enclosed garden was a place of perfect intimacy. You got it? Pre-fall. Yes.
Just thinking back to what you just said, I don't know what version of the book I'm using, but it's a little bit different.
What y'all having Bible study over here?
It is King James.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and chapter 4, verse 12.
Chapter 4, verse 12 of what? Of what book?
I'm sorry.
Solomon. Okay.
Solomon. Okay. A garden enclosed is my sister.
Yeah.
My spouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he also has the flowing water. And it's her that's being described. Like she completes it.
Like she is the garden. I mean, right. I mean, there's so many ways to think of this garden. Perhaps that she's the garden. I like sticking with this idea of the garden being this place of perfect intimacy, okay? Because that's kind of the focus of what I think is going on here in these two chapters of Song of Solomon. So Before the fall, there was perfect intimacy between man and woman. Now, it's interesting, the garden also was the place of perfect intimacy between God and humanity as well. And it's in the place of perfect intimacy between the man and himself. He was all right with himself. The reason we know this is because what happens when they disobey God? Look at the bottom part of chapter 3. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Of Genesis. We're in Genesis right now. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6. You there? When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for the food. It's very interesting that the whole fruit garden motif is here in Genesis, and it's also in Song of Solomon. I have my own ideas. I won't get into it about what Eve showed Adam. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleased his body and also desirable gain in wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then what happened? The eyes of them were both open, and they realized they were naked. They now had I don't want to go too far into it. They now had what the philosophers call a consciousness of consciousness. Before, they weren't even conscious of each other being naked, because that's how close the intimacy was. But the enemy comes in and destroys the intimacy, so that, okay, wait a minute. They're both of them, the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they're naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves, because that which used to be natural and they were open with, now they're ashamed of. And they even have to hide from each other. And ain't like there's a whole lot of other people in the garden that they have to get dressed for. Oh, I don't want her to see me. Come on, dude. You was all right with it the day before. I was running around there like Tarzan and Jane. Now you got to cover it up. Nobody else was in there. So the only ones they are concealing themselves from is each other. Nothing was concealed. Remember, Carol Poe, you got all this started, okay? All right, because I'm going off on this, all right? Nothing was concealed prior to the fall. The fall created all kind of mess that we're still dealing with right now. And it's very interesting when you trace, sometimes you need to trace all sin, all of our issues, all of our dysfunctions back to the fall. See, for me, I mean, how can any human beings take three young ladies, 10 years, Temptations used to sing Ball of Confusion. That's what the world is today. Hey, hey, yeah. That's, you have to know how deep the reverberations of the fall have traveled. The fall, you took me there. No, I know, I'm not going. Nope, I'm not coming back. The fall messed me up with me, because now I'm even distant from my essential self. The fall messed me up from with God. Okay? Because watch it. What happens when their eyes are open? There's shame. Okay? Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. Ooh! Just when you think you can relax. I've covered that thing up. The shame I felt, I've dealt with it my own way. And God waits until the cool of the day. I'm chilling now. I've settled in into my new existence. Oh God, this is slaying me. I've settled into my new existence. About that time, the cool of the evening, God comes walking through the garden. And God doesn't come into the garden. It's all right here in the book. It's all in the book. Thank you, Carol. It's all in the book. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. Okay? And they did what? For the first time, they're now hiding not just from each other. They're hiding from God. Don't worry. I'm going to come full circle. Back to Song of Solomon in just a second. That they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Doesn't condemn him. Doesn't hit him upside the head yet. Just simply says, "Where are you?" He has to say, "Where are you?" because he's no longer where he's supposed to be. What does Adam say? Verse 10. I heard you where? And I was? Because I was? Naked. Because I was vulnerable. Okay? Hold on. And what does God say? Who told you? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said. There you go. I like Adam. The woman you put here. Now, before the fall, that was my woman. After the fall, the woman you put here. What a difference a day makes, is it? In chapter 2, oh, there's all lovey-dovey and naked and intimate and just nothing between them, nothing concealed. Now he says, what does he say? The woman you put here with me. Can't you hear Adam talking? She gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" Woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." And so, hold up. Where is it? I gotta find this. Cursed are you, but the livestock, your crawl, I'll put enmity between you and the people. I will greatly increase your desire. Is that to Adam? He said, "Because you listened to your wife, and he said, you must not curse her, and I will produce you." This was Adam named his wife Eve because she is. And the Lord God made garments of skin. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us. And he must not be allowed to reach out." Says verse 23. What's it say? So the Lord banished from the garden. Now hold up. Because of the sin, what were some of the consequences? Well, I've already alluded to about three or four of them. That there is now alienation and estrangement between God and humanity. You got that right? Because now they're hiding. Okay, that is number one. Anybody wants to create your own little outline? Here it is. That the first consequence of the fall was alienation between God and humanity. A second consequence was alienation or estrangement or separation between human and human. So now there's this distance between them. A third consequence is alienation, estrangement, separation between man and himself. He can't even handle his own nakedness. A fourth consequence, watch it, is also alienation and estrangement between humanity and nature. So now nature becomes an enemy. The world is just spinning crazy now, out of control. The natural world, hurricanes, tornadoes, all this kind of. Why? Because of the fall. Inside of the garden, it wasn't supposed to be all this craziness. So now, isn't it amazing that you have to have the police to make us do right? Who was it? Thomas. Thomas Hobbes, the political philosopher of London, of England, says that we have to have unlimited police control because of the barbaric nature of humanity. Just crazy. Isn't it something that you have to have a police officer to make you go to speed limit? Right, Melody? You do, right? Because if you don't see the police officer, you're going to go. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. All I'm trying to say is that what you might want to do is sometimes connect the craziness of the world to what happened in Genesis. It finds its origin in the fall. Okay? It's 8:30. Let me bring this full circle. What do you see? What do you see happening in Song of Solomon? Go back. Let's leave Genesis alone. I love Genesis chapter 2 and 3. I really do. Somebody got me started on that tonight. I wasn't going to mess with it. But go back to Song of Solomon. So, and then I'm going to come get you for real. Watch. In Song of Solomon, what do you see? You see this level of intimacy. We've seen it sexually. You see it emotionally. And you also see it conversationally, because they are, and somebody said, who said that they're being vulnerable with each other? They're being naked. There's this openness that almost puts you in mind of the garden before the fall. Watch. Because what happens, can I tell you what it really means? Can I tell you what it really means to be saved? It means to be restored to a pre-fall existence. The problem is, I still have with me some fallen tendencies that I bring into my new pre-fall existence. So what I'm trying to say is that even though the world is crazy, When you are a child of God, what God does is begin to restore some of the stuff that was lost in the fall. And what did I say the four things that were lost? Alienation, me and God, me and you, me and me, me and nature. So what happens is to be saved. See, this is why you got to come to Bible study. You don't get this on Sunday morning. This is why I come to Bible study. This right here, and I ain't trying to brag, this is some major theology, y'all. Okay? And let me tell you this, that when God saves you, what he's trying to do is get us back to what he had designed us to be in the first place. It ain't nothing new. He's saying, I'm not trying to get you to be a Christian. I'm trying to get you to be a man or a woman that I wanted you to be from the get-go. So that, watch it, the intimacy that was lost in the fall is restored in salvation. Possible. Now, it ain't automatic. But now it's possible. Because the first thing that's restored is your intimacy with God. Relationship with God. Okay? And then, you know, he begins to help you to reconcile to yourself. I think that's a major step in being able to deal with other people. The garden then is a place of perfect fellowship and intimacy. So in Song of Solomon, if we look at it from the literal approach, it's the place of perfect intimacy between this man and the woman. I mean, they're intimate sexually, they're intimate emotionally, they're intimate conversationally, because they're all right with complimenting each other. can I say something? That a sign of intimacy is that you're comfortable with actually complimenting the one who's in your space. I mean, pouring it on. And whereas it was once automatic, at some point it has to become intentional. Because it used to be automatic, D.
Yeah.
I love to mess with y'all. Want to tell her some things you used to tell her just automatically, just when y'all were dating. And how long you been married?
44.
About 44 years. about 44 years. So that now what used to be automatic has to become intentional. So.
All right.
Tell us something. Tell us something you like about her. Tell us something, man. I'm just messing with y'all, man. I ain't gonna mess with y'all. Okay. I don't even know where I am. What am I talking about? What am I talking about? No, for real, what am I talking about? Intimacy being restored. Okay. Intimacy being restored. Here it is. I'm done. Here it is. And so again, the thief says, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me. Jesus said, today shall you be with me in paradise. Paradise is often seen as heaven. See, can I tell you what heaven is? Heaven is Genesis revisited. Heaven is the garden restored in its fullness. See, right now, we have some garden moments. But we still have to deal with patches of weeds. Hold up, Diggs, I'm rolling. Hold up. But we still got to deal with patches of weeds, right? Here and there. But when Jesus comes back, and you start reading Revelation, about how there's a river that runs through the city and the streets are paved with gold. Perfection. That is the enclosed garden. That's paradise having been restored. So I don't know where the lesson went tonight. I just want to say that being in Christ at least helps us to restore and gives us the potential for real intimacy on about two or three different levels. Okay? I didn't even talk about how it restores us to intimacy with even nature, because that's a whole other thing. Okay, all right. So you see this outline that I never got to? These texts. You can take them home. Yeah, we kind of got to it. Yeah, that's true. We kind of got to it. Yes, sir.